Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
We might be headed to the promised land
of speaking the truth
and finding
our external liberty once we internally liberate ourselves.
But their children were saved, and their children's children.
Generations were saved
by one decision, one person.
But changing the world can happen anywhere, and anyone can do it. So what starts here can indeed change the world. But the question is, what will the world look like after you change it?
Welcome to Public Access America.
Make a stand. I know I did. Thank you very much, and may God bless America. May God bless America. May God bless
America. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another live stream and podcast from Public Access America. We're just waiting for our co-host, Jeffrey, which gives me time to talk to you about some fantastic stuff. Well, at least maybe get my microphone set up. I'm going to go ahead and click that. Let's click that, and that will start the live stream, which is important because then I can get to my note. I won't be monitoring the chat this week because I am on a Google Note, which I am sharing with Jeffrey for the first time. I don't know. I'm not feeling it. I'm feeling like podcasting. I'm feeling like talking to Jeffrey. I'm feeling the 700th episode. I'm just feeling a little squibbly in my head. So let's get used to that. Thank you to everybody that's joined the live stream. Thank you to everybody that listens. I really appreciate it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, Player FM, the Stitcher Smart Radio app, Radio Public, and Podcast Addict, as well as Victor Reader for our visually impaired friends. We appreciate you. And Audible. We are on Audible and Amazon Music. We're everywhere. It's pretty amazing. We just started getting listens from South Africa. So hello, South Africa. Hello, Malta. I just learned about your megalithic structures last night, and I got to say they are fascinating to me. I think they are so cool from the tones. 150 megahertz. I don't even know how to get that, but now I want to replicate it so that I can also enjoy the freedom that it provides. So, yep. A new episode from Inspirations Beyond Disabilities came out today. That was kind of cool. Or last night, actually, it came out. Kai and Ezric and I, we talked about fall, Halloween, candy corn, pizza for some reason. Ezric's from New York and I'm from Chicago, and that debate started. And cupcakes or muffins? I'm kind of curious as to what people feel on those subjects. How do you feel about New York pizza? He says you can eat it on the L. I say a deep dish pizza, piece of pizza is so much easier to eat on the L. So do you even know what an L is? He uses a Subway. We use an L. The L is above. The Subway's below. But it was a great episode. It really was. Don't forget to check out Unsubscribe with my friend Kai. She has I shouldn't even tell you, but she did an episode she just recorded last night with one of my favorite people on the planet. And so check that out coming up this week. And her last episode, pretty great. Also, check out the Snack Network, as long as I am plugging things. My partner on Inspirations Beyond Disabilities, Dave, runs the Snack Network, where he tries new and unusual foods before you have to pay for them. And that's kind of cool. So welcome to episode 700. I'm kind of excited about this. I'm trying to upgrade a little bit, so we started a Google Note so that Jeffrey could look at it. Although, I don't know, that's a little crazy because I just added like three stories to the note just this morning, you know what I mean? In a fit of chaos. But we've been talking with our second hour guest, and that's cool too. He is confirmed, and Dan will be here. Hey, here's Jeffrey, so let's get started with the show. Wow, that's an interesting way to do that. How cool. Jeffrey. I wonder if he gets annoyed that I do that every single time. Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Holy cow. All right. Anyway, welcome to Public Access America. I'm Jason and he's Jeffrey, and we are just going to get into the 700th episode because I like doing it that way.
Let's dig in.
I want to say really to you, I got a new computer and I do not have my backgrounds yet. So I apologize for that. I don't mean to leave you hanging on an old theme.
Well, you know, I could always change my background to something wildly inappropriate, but whatever.
I like wildly inappropriate. We don't have enough of that. So how are you doing? What's going on with Jeffrey?
Oh, well, we've definitely, things have been busy here. You know, still busting at work, and, you know, got some great things happening in personal life that will be a lot more available later. You probably have seen at least a little bit through Devi. So some exciting things, really. You know, personal growth is always something that's exciting. And
scary.
It's terrifying. You know, that initial jump is always terrifying, but at the same time too, you know, sometimes you just you build something good, and you have that, what if this doesn't succeed, and people start reaching out to you and they're like, how can I help, how can I get involved, where can I go, what can I do? And you realize that what you're going to do is going to be just fine.
Surround yourself with good people, then those are the people that step up. Instead of when you surround yourself with bad people, they step up too, but they're just super negative about it, you know.
And their voice might be loud at first, but it diminishes, and it goes away. But the people who are there to lift you up and support you, their voices are always loud and they're always there.
You know, somebody told me about a god in India called Shiva, right? And Shiva is the destroyer, but in essence, also the creator. And what Shiva will do is pick you up and speed you to the spot in your life that you need to be. And in that, you feel that confusion and chaos of being transported from one part of your life to the other. But once you settle, you're going to find yourself in a new spot. And I think that's such a good analogy for what's going on with Devi right now.
Absolutely. You know, and it's, I would say that, you know, one of the things that we've tried to focus on are, you know, positive changes, and how do you build something positive at a time where, you know, sometimes things can feel like a negative, but the fact of the matter is that when you, like you said, when you surround yourself with good people, you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, no, you get positivity from it. Yeah. And sometimes you have to take a step back to get ahead. I know on this podcast, we had a lot of listens, and then I deleted about 200 episodes because they just weren't relevant. And we took a step back, but now we're back where we were. And now people are listening to these conversations. And I think that's cool. You know, we've had you and I have had around 64 episodes together.
Dang.
That is amazing. So along with the 700th episode, in a few episodes, you and I personally are going to have our 69th episode.
Hey.
And actually, we got some comments and somebody was really happy when you were like 69 plus a 9.
Nice.
So I know I shared the note with you, and then I was just saying in the pre-show how I just added a bunch of stories to the note, you know, what I mean? And added in them. So it's a combination of knowledge and spontaneity, I guess, this week, but none of them are super big and nothing that you really need more information on than you had, you know. Also in the second hour, Dan did confirm this morning that he's going to be here. So we're going to talk some stuff COVID. I was telling Kai, my friend, that, like, you know, Jeffrey is a really smart, I'm wise, right? But Jeffrey is super smart in an educated way. You're also wise, and Dan's also wise, but you two are super educated. And sometimes I just feel like the idiot answering questions from the audience, but I always want to get you somebody on your intellectual level if I can, so we can have those broader discussions. And then I just like to be there to kind of see if I can translate that conversation for the people that don't understand on a PhD or master's level. You know what I mean?
Right, right. You know, and that's this, you know, one of those things, like, we've had that conversation before. I don't expect most people to be at my level. I really don't. It's not fair to people. Like, I've gone out, I've spent a bunch of money to get where I am, you know? And the idea that, you know, we kind of gatekeep, like, especially like as we tell people to, you know, quote unquote, follow the science, you know, the reality is that, you know, following the science means that it, you know, it keeps traveling and it keeps changing, you know, it keeps changing, it keeps evolving, it keeps getting questioned. But, you know, not everybody is going to be able to understand and keep up with that. And that's not, you know, it's not because they're dumb. It's just not their wheelhouse. It's like anything art related to me. Like, I'm not colorblind. I can see all the colors, but I do not understand, you know, how they go together, naming conventions, why one shade does one thing, another shade does another, why these two colors that seem completely opposite from each other work well together. It just, like, I don't understand it, and I never will. Like, it's not because I'm stupid by any means. It just, it's not my thing. I don't get it. Or, you know, even like construction and engineering, like, I have a background in construction, but there are just some things I don't understand why you do them the way you do them, but I know they work.
That's why we find people that we can trust, and then we trust them, you know? That's the important thing. Like, I don't know everything you're talking about all the time. Sometimes I have to go back after the show and look stuff up. you know what I mean?
That's great.
That's what's important, is that I'm the useful idiot that actually can translate into, like, you guys will say something and I'll ask a question. Sometimes it's a dumbass question, but that's something that maybe somebody else is also thinking. And I like that. That to me, you know?
Well, and that's something we tell our kids in school. Like, if you have a question, ask it, because I guarantee you're not the only one that has that question.
That's a good reminder.
You just might be the only person brave enough to ask the question.
Yeah.
And in which case, it's that's where, you know, the quest for knowledge, people feel stupid when they don't know the answer. And we got to get past that. You know, not everybody knows the answer. It's not possible. We don't have one person that knows everything, but we need everybody to be able to ask the question, so that way the one person who does know something goes, yo, I got this.
Right. Because we're a community of people that know things. And it's amazing how somebody with little knowledge has such a steady opinion on something that they don't know anything about, like the voting process or economics, you know, or the treasury. We don't all know about that, but we all seem to want to have an opinion about it without asking an expert. You know, it's like these days experts are out of step with,
I think I know where you're going with this. So one of the things that we've consistently talked about in the last 2 years has been this concept of, you know, questioning science or questioning the expert is science. But what we miss is the reality that in order to question an expert, you have to have some level of foundation in what that expert talks about and what they do. Like, for example, I won't be able to question Dan on viral function. I will not, because Dan's going to know this stuff. But when it comes to the analysis of the numbers, I'm absolutely going to be able to question Dan, because I know how to do that. Right. And I'm going to be able to look at what those numbers mean, you know, how I'm interpreting them, how many other people would interpret them, and raise questions about the process in which those numbers were obtained. And rightfully so. You know, questioning science doesn't mean that you just go, well, I don't think I like that, or I don't think I agree, so I'm going to. You have to have some type of a foundation in which you look at the information and go, I question how you got there. I don't think you did this right.
Right.
And it could be any number of pieces along the way. It could be about, you know, it could be about how the virus spreads. You know, like, for example, question that I have right now, especially being a numbers person, is, so Washington State released this piece of data. on COVID in places that are democratically held counties. The death rate is 7 per 100,000. But in Republican held counties, it is 44 per 100,000, an over 6 times increase. Now, what does that mean? Now, if you give people just enough context, I said Republican held counties, what does that mean to you? What does your brain immediately think? Oh, that's where people don't want to get the vaccine. So now here's my question as a data person, because that could be one element of this. Absolutely. People don't want to get the vaccine. It could be the largest element of this. But then you have the other question is, a lot of these places are rural. What does their access to a hospital actually look like?
Good point.
So the question is, you know, they may have been, you may have people who are vaccinated, but because there is such limited access to hospital beds, they might not have had much of a choice, you know, or there just might not be the level of care there that you would expect to see in urban areas where we have major hospitals. So questioning why that number is the way that it is science, you know, because I don't want to just say it's anti-vaxxers. I have a pretty good idea that that's the majority of the issue.
It could be bad polling, right?
It could
be the fact that Washington State has a larger than normal anti-vaxxer society. So there's a lot of factors to that.
I mean, because these numbers are coming directly from the Department of Health, like this is stuff that's coming out of the hospitals, but it still means that there's an issue there that we need to resolve. You know, is it because people don't have access to healthcare? If that's the case, you know, how many of those deaths could have been preventable by better access to healthcare? That's a question that we've talked about multiple times. But if it really is the vast majority is people, you know, don't want to get the vaccine, there's not much anybody can do about that. You can do all the messaging you want. You can create all the mandates you want. You can make it as difficult to be a member of society as you want for not getting vaccinated. There are people that are still going to make that choice not to get the vaccine. Mm-hmm. But we're also going to have to reconcile the fact that there are a bunch of people out there that are not going to be able to take the vaccine. And we got to quit lumping them in with the anti-vaxxer crowd. Got a couple of friends, pro-science, pro-vaccine, can't have it.
Exactly. It's an immune system thing. And I can't wait to talk to Dan about all of that. But I'm more of a people person. You're more of a numbers and he's more of the science. And I love when the three of us get together to talk about that stuff. Yeah. It makes my head feel good to offer that information. You know what I mean?
Right.
And we'll have more on that. I do have a quick story I want to start us off because it's breaking news. For the first time in history, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier was guarded by an all-woman team. And I just wanted to get that on the record because I think that's it is so fantastic, isn't it? I don't think it's a Biden. I wonder if it's like a Biden thing or just a thing that's happening. Is it an evolution that's natural or is it an evolution that's being forced by politics? And either way, it doesn't matter. It's being done.
You know, and well, this is one of those things where, you know, in terms of, you know, if we're going to look at equality, we've got women who are active duty soldiers and we got women who are frontline soldiers. And we've got to get used to the fact that women can be fighters too. And in a lot of other countries, they don't differentiate, you know, men's units and women's units the way that we have in the past.
Right.
You know, you're a trained soldier and you do the soldier thing. So, you know, it's, and especially having friends who are soldiers, but, you know, because their husband is also a soldier, they just think of, you know, them as the military spouse. Nah, motherfucker, she's a vet too. She got herself blown up in Iraq and Afghanistan.
And there is no differentiating in the training between men and women. They all deal with the same stuff.
You know, she's still going to have to fight and you're still going to have to fight. You know, you look at one of my favorites was looking at the Kurdish women who were fighting, you know, at the height of ISIS. It's like those motherfuckers were fighting for their lives. So like they were particularly vicious. The Soviet Union used women as snipers consistently because they could just pick things out that were out of place far better than most of the men could, which is why I think it's at least 5 of the snipers with the most kills are women.
That's outstanding. I think it's amazing. I'm into history, you know, from the beginning to the end. And what I think is amazing is throughout history, there's always been female-led societies. Even in the Middle East, in Egypt, like in places where you think women are overly suppressed, back in history, they've been the leaders. They've been the pharaohs. They've been the people in charge of finances. And along the way, that's been destroyed for this male-centric thought that we're better at everything because we are men, because we have a penis. I keep thinking that because there's no differentiating between a female body and a male body if you take away the genitals, right? A female can be stronger than a man. A man can be taller than a woman. A woman can be smarter than a man. There is no monolithic.
I met some women who are far taller than me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is that like there is no... People are always saying these, they're trying to put these monolithic definitions on gender. And I can find the example where they don't work, right? Every time. And that's why there's a constant debate in this, like transgender athletes, they're stronger. They're not. It's just, there's these preconceived notions about gender that I think we really need to get past, because I've seen wrestlers that could kick any man's ass. You know what I mean? I've seen little women that could destroy you with just words. And so I don't know. I love the fact that this is, I just wonder if it's a natural thing. That's what I want to know. Did Biden like order it? Or either way, we're progressing, but I'm wondering if the progression is being ordered or if it's just something that naturally happened because it was a rotation.
It's a grand question. You know, my hope is that, you know, it didn't take somebody ordering it to make it happen.
Right. That's what I'm wondering. I mean, I still appreciate the progress, but if you're being ordered to do it, it's slightly different. And that's what I'm wondering.
Mm-hmm. It's different. It's different than willingness to do that without
being ordered. Right. But bravo to the military for doing it. This, Jeffrey, this story. All right. So I was talking to somebody about, we were covering sexual abuse for a while, and I talked to one of my female friends about it, and I was like, it really irritates me, and I don't understand why people are numb to it. And she explained that she's been dealing with it all her life, right? And so these constant stories to her are always there, you know? And so they get a little less attention to the guy that's just coming along to it.
Right.
And so I did want to back off a little on it, but I still want to say that it's an important thing to pay attention to. And I want to say I appreciate Twitter for actually spotlighting these stories in their news feeds, because there is always one or two there, and I think it's important. This week there was more, and I just didn't get to cover it, but they're always there. The World Soccer Foundation is canceling games because one of the coaches was accused of abuse. So there you go. And look that up, because I'm not going to get into it. But this story, Jeffrey, when I read the title, I thought it was a sexual abuse story, but it turns out to be a scam story. And this lady was called, and she stayed on the phone with her scammer forever while he had her like empty her bank account. And he did it through manipulation. And holy cow, I can't even, did you read this? Did you check out this at all?
I did not check out this story, but it's a story that I have seen far more times than I ever care to. So maybe you can give a little background on to it, and I can talk about the InfoSec side of it.
Yeah, I'm 59.4 million Americans lost $29.8 billion to scammers, and they're getting they're targeting more professional people with backgrounds. And this guy, what he did was he reached out to somebody, he got her number off of her professional website, and then he explained to her that, you know, she had missed a trial date to appear as a witness, and that's her job, that's what she does normally. And so he manipulated her by saying, you know, if you come to the police, they're going to detain you for 72 hours, so you need to work with me to pay this $6,000 off ahead of time. But then I see where she would believe that, but then it goes on into some really scammy stuff. But he gets her into this fight or flight scenario and gets her all flustered. And there's some things that the human mind wants to do, solve the problem. there, you know, the human mind just, it puts off some of those red flags when you're just trying to drive to the net. And let's see.
So let me put it to you this way.
For those who aren't
familiar with U.S. court system, to put it very succinctly, there is never going to be an option of pay this fine or go to jail for 72 hours if you have not been convicted of a crime. Usually when you're getting held for 72 hours, the cops are showing up and you either know they're coming or you're about to find out.
Right.
There is no pay this fine and avoid the 72 hours of jail. That's not how our justice system works. It has never worked that way in any capacity. Even when you get convicted of a crime, you might have to pay a fine, but jail time is also there. You're going to be well aware of all of this. It's never mm-hmm. going to be done over the phone. Like okay. you're going to have uniformed officers show up. So if you ever have that question of, uh-oh, somebody's saying I need to pay money or I'm going to, or the cops are going to come arrest me. No, that's not how it works. If the cops are going to arrest you, that's because they have an arrest warrant and there's no amount of money that you can pay to avoid that arrest warrant. You're going to need a lawyer to quash that warrant. And that's the only way that you're going to stop that. You're either going to go with the cops or you're going to go to your lawyer and say, hey, I think I've got a warrant out for me. Can you quash this? And they're going to go and they're going to do their thing to take care of it. But a lot of the times they'll be able to check that out too, if you actually have a warrant against you. And that's the thing is, it's like, if you don't have case specifics, mm-hmm. it should make you very concerned. Like, you're not just going to have a general warrant out for you. It's like, hey, you missed this case number, blah, blah, blah. It's in this court, in this district or superior court or whatever.
Right.
Like, they will have these numbers. They will have what the docket is. They will have information if you actually miss something.
That's why I think it's interesting that they're targeting intelligent professional people. I think the intelligent professional people assume that they're on a level to where they're not going to get scammed. So or maybe they're more likely to be scammed just because they don't think they can be, you know what I mean? Well, but the scammers are also using psychology in a way that they never have before, you know what I mean? To turn off somebody's intelligent mind, the right half, and have them just in more of the
emotional
scared state. Yeah, the emotional. If you can get somebody into an emotional state, you have them almost where you want them.
Yeah, you know? And that's the thing is, like, I've had scammers like this call me mm-hmm. and threaten me with jail if I don't pay the fine, and I'm like, okay, cool. What's the case number? Let me look it up.
Right.
You don't have a case number. Okay. Well, what district is this out of? They don't know. Well, okay, so what who's going to be the arresting officer service? You know, they don't know who it's going to be. It's, you know, it's like you can figure this out in a series of a few questions. Like, you can, most people, you know, in the United States, you can look up case information. You can even search your own name to find out if you've got a case against you. Granted, it's not universal. You have to know what court you're looking in. Because every state does it differently, feds do it differently, counties do it differently inside of a state. It can be a little bit of a pain, but the reality is that, you know, if you actually have something out for your arrest, you'll either be able to look it up or you'll have the cops at your door, period, end of story.
Right. And the scammer's goal is to fake answer those questions before you ask them, right?
Absolutely.
They're going to overwhelm you with details that you think sound relevant, phone numbers that you think are real, and objectives that you think you can solve to get out of the situation. And I think they do that before your rationality kicks in. And that's why I wanted to address this. What they do is they seesaw you between negatives and positives. Here's the negative, here's the positive that you can, you know, and so you're in the short term, you're just trying to solve those immediate things. And I just wanted to tell this to people that are prone to getting scam calls, that these are some of the things they do that you can look for. And when you hear this stuff and they're not giving you a chance to offer a solution, she said, you know, he says, you can't call the police because, you know, I know, I'll know if you're calling the police. You can't text them because I'll know if you're texting them because I am the police and I'm the one trying to protect you. And suddenly she feels like she can't go to the police. And of course you can. Of course you can, right?
That's like, for example, there was a string of, I forget where this was at, but there was a string of people getting pulled over by the cops, but mm-hmm. something was off. They didn't seem like a cop. What most people don't realize is that you can actually, like, if you're getting pulled over and you're not sure it's a cop, you can actually call 911 and find out if whoever's got you pulled over is actually a cop. Now, you know, at least, you know, here we've got, you know, marked vehicles in various capacities. Yeah, we got some undercover vehicles too. Mm-hmm. But if you have any questions or any doubts, you know, you can absolutely call the cops and be like, hey, I'm getting pulled over and I am not certain that the person pulling me over is actually a cop.
Right. There's so many agencies out there that somebody could pretend to be just a random agency and pull you over. And that's why that's weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, and not to mention the people who think they're the cops.
Right.
You know,
right. So community police and stuff, or just people that just bought an old cop car and why.
Well, there's a well, it's funny here because there's a guy who had bought an old cop car, and he spray painted on the back and on the hood "not a cop." I was like, you know what, dude? Awesome, thank you.
That's funny. And now you can go pull people over.
Pull people over as not a cop.
I think it would make a much better taxi service. You know what I mean?
Not a cop taxi service. All right. It's like, wait, this is suspicious.
So there was, let's see, they try and get you into a flight, freeze, and fawn sort of mentality. And yeah, we got to that. This guy went much further, by the way. Oh, so what he had her do was go to the ATM. He had her call the bank while he was on the phone to increase the amount she could get from the ATM. And then he had her go and get like prepaid Visa cards. And you know what I mean? And so as soon as I heard prepaid cards, I would have hung up the phone. But yep. there was a moment which I think is really cool, which she went to the Rite Aid and the clerk just looked her in the eyes and gave her a flyer saying, "Are you the victim of a scam?" And the lady thought to herself, that was the minute she came closest to hanging up, but then she didn't. You know?
Yep. That's just, it's really frustrating because, like,
yeah,
you're not going to be paying anything in prepaid cards ever.
No, ever, ever.
In the justice system of the United States of America, you will never pay anything in prepaid cards ever, right. Ever, 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 ever.
Oh, here's my question. If a warrant is out for your arrest, mm-hmm. is there a bail set at that time? Or do you have to go in and have that hearing, you know what I mean?
You have to go in and have that hearing. If there's a warrant out for your arrest, there is no, oh, if I pay this, I won't get arrested. No, you're getting arrested if you actually have a warrant. You will be arrested. You will be brought in. And usually if you have a warrant out for your arrest, you probably aren't going to be looking at bail for a hot minute.
Right. There's no amount of money that somebody can say you can pay to get out of the situation because that has to be done once you turn yourself in.
There are only two ways that a warrant gets executed. The first way is that the cop shows up, they arrest you and book you into jail. The second way is that you hire a lawyer and your lawyer will file a motion to quash a warrant. That's right. What it's called. And so your lawyer will go through the process of quashing a warrant, if it's possible. I say that with a huge caveat because, I mean, there, you know, whenever somebody thinks of a warrant, you know, we typically think of, oh my God, there's a warrant out for somebody's arrest. They must be a murderer. Now, sometimes you have a warrant out for your arrest because you missed a trial date, and it's called a bench warrant.
Those are more likely.
Yeah, and so basically, what it boils down to is you're just, you know, you can hire a lawyer to help quash that warrant. You know, they'll be able to figure out if it's something that can be quashed at all and keep you out.
Right, right.
But otherwise, I mean, the only other way that you're going to get that warrant taken care of is you're going with the cops.
Yeah, Yeah. And you can request that without a lawyer to quash the warrant, but it's always easier with a warrant, with a lawyer, you don't know the terms, because then there's another thing you have to address after that and you don't know what to do there. So nope. this guy used phone cloning to show that he was calling from the sheriff's department. He told her to look up the sheriff's department phone number on the website, and then he called her from that number. But it's called spoofing, right? Yep. Is that what it is?
It's called spoofing.
So you can't even trust that. You can't trust an email. You can't trust a phone call. You can't trust a text from a stranger, you know?
What? And I mean, I had that happen to me about in 2015. I had someone from the FBI field office in Seattle call me, saying that if I didn't, you know, if I didn't take care of this particular warrant, I was going to be placed under arrest. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's not happening. By all means, you can come send an officer to me. Because I know how because I've worked with the FBI. I have worked with, you know, the U.S. Marshals Service. I have worked in federal courts. I know exactly how they work. Nobody's calling me to say pay up or else we're coming to get you, especially if it's the feds. They're just showing up to come get your ass, period, end of story.
Yeah, think about it in a real life scenario. If you are a wanted fugitive and the FBI calls you and says, hey, wait there, you're not very likely to do that, right? So I don't know. And then at the end of this story, it takes a really bad turn. After he gets all of her money and drains her bank account, he says that when she does come into the sheriff's office, she's going to have to turn herself in and submit to a strip search and a cavity search. He also tells her that there is no females on duty, so he will be doing that, but that she can get out of this by going to a local CVS and videoing a strip search and cavity search in the bathroom. And she did it. So the story that I thought was sexual abuse that turned out to be a scam also turned out to be sexual abuse. Like, even when I try to get away from it, Jeffrey, it's right there at the end of the story.
I don't even know what to say with that, just because it's like, there's no way in hell that the FBI is ever going to let you search yourself. It just does not happen.
No governmental agent, no police department is. No.
No, it's not how it works. Like, if there's a cavity search involved, they're going to glove up and do it. Period, end of story. You don't get to search yourself. It's the equivalent of saying I've investigated myself and found I'm doing nothing wrong. You're not, like, if you're getting a cavity search, you're getting a cavity search because they're the ones that are doing it.
Yeah. And then, she did go to the address that he gave her, and it was a office park. All the lights were off. It was just an office. I just feel so bad for her. This is like almost a kidnapping ordeal, the way it went down, the way she had to drive around and do all this stuff. And I keep thinking to myself, I just hang up the phone, right? So it's tough for me. It's tough for me that people are falling for it. And like, at some point, critical thinking has to come in, right? Like, you have to think to yourself, what are the penalties of me not doing what this guy says versus what are the penalties of me doing what he's saying? And losing all your money and doing a cavity search on video seems like something that somebody would have a red line about and say, I'm not going to go this far. Like, at the beginning of the phone call, you have to think to yourself, there's got to be a red line where I'm hanging up. That's my head.
The red line is if the cops are coming to get you or say that they're going to come get you, that's when you say, great, contact my lawyer.
Right.
And that's it.
Like, or go to the police department. Like, yeah, he said she shouldn't do. She should have said, I'm going to go there. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
So it's tough for me that people fall for this, and even very smart people fall for it.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. I feel bad for her. But I mean, there were several stops along the way where, you know, if you would have taken a breath for a moment, you would have realized that this was all bullshit.
Yeah. And I hope somebody hears this and then takes that breath and hangs up. You can always hang up. and then just block that call. And they will show up at your door if it's real, and they won't if it isn't.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing is like I've said before, if the cops have a reason to arrest you, they're just showing up at your door, period, end of story. That's all that's happening.
Okay. So, oh my gosh, I don't know if you read this story, but Texas has a new hey, Texas, we're back.
All right.
Yeehaw. Texas has a new social media censorship law that prevents filters by anything, by keywords or phrases or anything like that. And this, professors are saying, can cause an increase of email scamming. So are these things right up your alley, Jeffrey? I'm not quite sure.
I've read what they're going to do, and I'm like, you guys really have no idea how this stuff works, do you?
No. And what's weird is like they shoved it in a bill that was in a bill that was in an amendment to that bill. And like I had to search from that bill with keywords to find this. Like this was not an easy section to find. You know what I mean? So I appreciate it. And that's why I add the link so that you can go right to the law instead of reading the story. You know what I mean? Because we need to do that. And it's in the description portion of this podcast. You can go read the law or you can find the story about the law.
This one is just so dumb. Like, I don't know if people realize that, like, the way that these algorithms work is that they look at, I've been kind of messing around to see how my algorithm changes, just because I want to see like what it does, how it follows me and how it changes stuff. So I've been watching a few YouTubers lately that focus on guns and cops, because I'm just kind of experimenting out to see how YouTube changes its algorithm to what it recommends me.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
And it started to recommend me more conservative-leaning stuff. And that's what's really funny about it is that it's all based on what you watch and right. Who you watch and what you're looking up. So if you start looking up certain things, you're going to start getting certain recommendeds and filters, which is why, you know, I start looking up cops, you know, like cop video breakdowns and by a specific person. And suddenly my recommended has changed very significantly. And that filter has changed very significantly from what it was. My YouTube is usually just, you know, death metal videos and lo-fi hip hop and me looking up how to fix something.
Right.
So, you know, this has been kind of funny to watch. What people don't understand about these algorithms is that if you're watching specific people, it's going to recommend you specific things. If you start watching different things, it's going to start recommending different things. It's going to take it a minute while it's like, hey, I've noticed that you're starting to look up more of this stuff. So let me try and pick out some more of this.
How does YouTube determine what is like something else?
How does it goes off.
I mean, we're not on YouTube now. We're going to be on YouTube in a little bit when Dan gets here, maybe, or maybe just before he gets here. But how do websites know that this is like that?
So here's how the algorithm works roughly for the average person. So let's say you look up a cop video. What it does is it takes a look at who all has watched that video, and then it averages out. People who watched this video also watched these videos. Okay. And it goes, so if you watch this video, it breaks it down and it goes, the majority of people who watched this video watched this video, and they watched this video, and they watched this video. And so then if you go, okay, I think I'm going to watch this video that it recommended, it's starting to build a pattern. Okay, so you watched this video and you watched this video. People who watched these two videos also watched. Boom, 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 and it starts grabbing. And that's how your algorithm starts to build. If you're watching this particular video, it'll grab the next most related content for people who have watched these two videos. And so,
and this algorithm is just in this decade, right? This is a new way of doing this, right?
Correct. It's a newer way of doing this. You know, because it used to be before, like, you know, on YouTube, the recommended was whatever was hot at the time.
Right.
So for me, watching Dimmu Borgir on YouTube and then suddenly seeing ads for Lady Gaga didn't make a damn bit of sense because I don't listen to Lady Gaga. It's not my thing.
Right.
Lady Gaga is a fantastic artist, but not what I'm listening to. I'm listening to death metal.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't want to follow up Dimmu with Lady Gaga.
No, but I get it.
Okay. So, but by being able to take the power of analytics and say, okay, this person watched this, so most likely they might be interested in some of these. And the more of those videos that you watch, the more of those connections they draw. It's like, you know, you watched all 10 of these videos. People who watched all 10 of these videos also watched. And that's how you drive which way YouTube goes. Now, I could easily take what I've been doing and I'd switch it over and start watching things like Sean King or Young Turks or any number of things like that. And my algorithm will slowly start to shift that way. It's like, hey, you watch this. People who watch this and this video, because it's going to pull some of your old stuff over. And it's going to be like, what the fuck are you on? And it'll recommend you some of the old stuff, but it might start recommending you some of the new stuff too. But the more of that new stuff you watch, it changes your algorithm and says, okay, so you watched these two videos recently. We're going to start pulling from this direction.
Yep. But how does it work with email, though? Because how can Texas say, we want you to remove the filters that stop scammy stuff? Because, like, I would assume Google has sort of a keyword catch, right? Or phrase catch to prevent emails from going out through its service. So how does Texas say, change that for Texas?
Well, that's going to be difficult.
Right.
Because that you're going to have to rely on, number one, the email address in question being located within Texas.
Yeah.
In which case, there's a couple of ways that you can do that. Number one, like all email addresses, like if you put it, like you can fill out personal information and you can have, you know, where you're located as part of that filter.
Right.
As part of that information that's gathered. So I wouldn't be surprised if mine still said that I was located in Montana.
Right.
Because I'm pretty sure that I set that once upon a time ago and I've never changed it. Definitely haven't been in Montana as a permanent resident for a number of years. But even still, that's one way that you can do it. Now, another way that they filter out what is spam is simply by people reporting. It's like, hey, this email from this sender is spam.
Gotcha.
And so you get enough reports from enough people in the system, it goes, okay, this is spam. Or if you've got a ton of emails coming from one sender at once and they're not whitelisted by the service, it'll go, oh, hey, this is spam. And it'll block it out. So there's multiple ways in which spam is identified, either by the system or by individuals.
But not by Texas legislators, right? Like, I don't know. I don't see how that's going to, I think it's going to prevent, it might be able to extend the scams to Texas, but out of Texas, I don't see how that can be regulated individually by state like that. So.
Well, and I mean, best of luck to them, I think.
Yeah, all right.
And the people who are about to get flooded with a whole bunch of scam about their penis.
Right. I just think Texas is aiming for everything that America, like the federal laws are. I think Texas, one by one, is just trying to change them, just to buck the system. I don't think it's for the people in Texas, you know what I mean?
No, the group of people who are tired of, you know, all of these laws on the books seem to have no problem putting all of these laws on the books.
Yeah, right. And Beto O'Rourke is looking to run for governor of Texas, and I think he's going to lose.
Oh, fuck.
I think anybody should run for governor except for the guy that said, hell yeah, we're going to take your guns. I don't think he
in the state of Texas. No. That's a terrible decision.
Yeah.
You might as well, you know, just hand the race over to Abbott at this point.
Right.
If Beto O'Rourke is going to be your top candidate, you know, I look at what Montana did, and Montana had a Democratic governor for a long time. And you know, he was very much I would say, you know, what some would call Democrat in name only, but it's not right. That, you know, he definitely had some more liberal ways of doing things, but liberal by Montana standards isn't really all that liberal. So
right. Hi, Joe Manchin.
No, yeah, I wouldn't even call Joe Manchin liberal by liberal standards in Virginia, but like, no. You know, it's one of those things where what Montana's former governor did, Schweitzer, he was a fantastic governor. Like, state ran a budget surplus, things were taken care of. Like, in terms of being able to be an effective and an efficient governor in the state of Montana, he was great. His predecessor, on the other hand, sucked. His predecessor was awful, and that was Steve Bullock. Everybody thought that Steve Bullock was going to be this fantastic, you know, potential. I was like, no. If anybody was going to run, you know, for the presidency and right. win it, from a conservative state, it would have been Schweitzer, because Schweitzer was, while he was a Democrat, he was still conservative enough that even conservatives would have been like, you know, I think I can handle him. Montana's done great under him, so why not him?
Yeah, Steve Bullock ran for president for like a minute and we laughed the entire time until he dropped out.
Schweitzer, and that was the thing, is that Schweitzer, you know, a bunch of people tried to push Schweitzer to run and he was just like, nah, I don't want to do that.
Right.
You know, he's like, I was governor. That's good enough for me. I don't want to run for the presidency.
Yeah. I don't think that conservative means killing people and Democrat means saving people.
No.
It should be, if you're in government, it's to protect the people that you want to protect, Ron DeSantis. You know what I mean? So this isn't a story in my list, but Ron DeSantis said something so ridiculous. He said the new thing is Florida man says that we should look to Australia's lockdown policy as the future of Joe Biden's what do you call that, like, martial law. So he says Australia's doing it, so we should do it. But then 2 days later, a story comes out where Australia says, guess what? We're opening up next month because what we did was successful. it made me laugh because Australia's people didn't die and Ron DeSantis's people are still dying. And people are parroting the fact that it's Australia's fault that we have more COVID. And it's like, what? That wasn't a story I had, but I've been, you know, messaging Ron DeSantis back and forth on Twitter about this.
That's funny. No, yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that I think that the Republican Party has no fucking clue over, right. is when it comes to these lockdown policies, these places have higher taxes and higher social welfare than we do. There's a reason why you didn't see lockdowns like this.
Because our people are too poor to stay at home.
Yeah, and our governments are too broke for everybody to stay at home. You know, everybody keeps going, well, why aren't we staying home? It's like, well, you see, the one safety net that we had that could have been used to keep people at home, keep people paid, it's been leveraged against, and there's no money in it.
That's right. That's what we forget. Before the pandemic, we were slashing budgets and stealing funds from other places to pay for other things. We weren't in a great state. And that's why we're backfilling our safety net now through infrastructure, right? Which I want to say, by the way, is supposed to be paid for by raising taxes on the rich. And that's the whole debate. Do we want to people are like, no to the infrastructure. It's too much money. Yes. No. Yes. It's to pay for the stuff we always do for the next 10 years. And like trillion sounds like a lot till you spread it over 10 years. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's this whole discussion about this bill being way too expensive, but it's free.
700 billion a year.
if you raise taxes on the rich, and lobbyists are saying, we don't want this bill passed because we don't want you to raise taxes on us. And that is the real conversation.
What we're missing in the real conversation is the fact that what the Democrats also tried to do was try to get it so that way they could monitor every bank account that has a transaction of $600 or greater, or has a cumulative of $600 roll through that account. So that way they can't be taxed. That means that, you know, let's say that Jason buys us some concert tickets, you know, because he's down there, he's got the ability to go over to the box office and grab the tickets. Sure. If I go to pay Jason back for those tickets, that counts as income for Jason, is how they would view that.
Wow.
That means that Jason would get taxed for me paying him for my concert ticket that I would have bought at the box office myself.
I like this. This is a spontaneous conversation about the infrastructure bill.
So, you know, unfortunately what has happened is, and I know I'm going to piss some people off, but you know what?
Fuck it.
Full send.
It's the end of the show. Do it.
This whole idea of and millionaires and billionaires will pay for it sounds an awful lot like and Mexico will pay for it just for the left. Because right now there's a whole bunch of fucking stuff coming around that they're really looking at how normal people are going to be paying for this. So, it was just a little bit surprising when all of a sudden I find out that and millionaires and billionaires will pay for it is they're wanting to look at every single account that's ever had $600 in one way or another to roll through for it. Wow. So I was just absolutely stunned when I saw that. And I was like, what the hell is this bullshit? Because that means that anybody who has ever paid back a friend now runs the risk of their friend getting taxed for paying them back for something that they just bought. God knows how many times Debbie and I have done that, where we buy something for a friend and a friend pays us back.
Right.
That's taxable income.
Wow.
Bullshit. That's horseshit is what that is. That, you know, that money was going to get spent at a local business. But if that's how you're going to treat it, I'm going to be like, nah, dude, you got to go get this yourself. And so that means that, you know, my friend's going to miss out on an experience or something like a necessity. God knows how many times where I've had a friend like, I can't get to the grocery store. I got a dire need. Is there any way you can grab this for me? I'm out right now. I'll totally grab it for you. Just tell me what you need. But then that's taxable income for me? That's bullshit is what that is. And that's the Democrats that work for you. And there's been a huge pushback on that. So enough with this and millionaires, but billionaires will pay for it. But then you fucking do this shit.
Gotcha.
End rant.
Check out the new infrastructure bill and actually dig into it. Hey, everybody, thank you for listening to Public Access America. You can find our live stream every Sunday, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. You can also find our podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, the Stitcher Smart Radio app, Radio Public, and Victor Reader for all of our visually impaired friends.
To those who would tear the world down, we will defeat you.
This is our moment.
This is our time.
To those who seek security. We support you.
Yes, we can.
And to all those who have wondered if America's beacon still burns as bright, tonight we prove once more that the true strength of our nation comes not from the might of our arms or the scale of our wealth, but from the enduring power of our ideals, democracy, liberty, opportunity, and unyielding hope.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. Nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life.
Ask not.
Yes, we can.
What your country can do for you.
I have a dream.
Ask what you can do for your country.
My poor little children.
Yes, we can.
One day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression.
In this lifetime, you don't have to prove nothing to nobody except yourself.
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward.
That's how winning is done.
Welcome to Public Access America.
Yes, we can.
Sunday live streams on YouTube.
I wanted to run out of that tunnel for my dad.
On Twitter.
What?
Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Smart Radio, Public, and Spotify.
Yes, we can.
Public Access America. History in the making. Making history in the making.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.